8 o'clock Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion, Vegas Golden Knights. I hope I get to say something like that next year as well. I am Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday morning at 8, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we I'm referring to is show producer Chris Magnum Chapman. Mags is also a Lotus Broadcasting sports personality and Vegas Golden Knights Radio's locker room correspondent. We are also streaming.
Wait, we can add something else to that. I am also the play-by-play voice for the Big City Showdown, which took place yesterday.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was got to call the game, Bishop Gorman and Finley Prep, and it was a fun time.
Maybe a future play-by-play. You like
you know,
it?
A lot of people tell me I do a pretty good job.
I gotta go back and listen. You know, I did that when I very first started in radio. I did play-by-play for Northern Michigan University basketball.
That's crazy.
And what's crazy is that year, Northern Michigan played Michigan. It was the 88-89 season, and they played Michigan. Michigan had Glenn Rice. Northern Michigan had his little brother, Kevin Rice. And I had the two of them sitting on either side of me at Chrysler Arena at Michigan during the game and interviewed Glenn and Kevin, who knew that Michigan was going to go on that year to win the national championship. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you got to see Bill Frieder as the Michigan coach. You did not get to see Steve Fisher, who ended up winning the national championship with
Correct.
Michigan.
Correct. Bill Frieder was still the coach when I did the game. And at the end of the season, it was Steve Fisher. But listen, by the way, also, we are streaming live on the LV Sports Network. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and check out and like the Facebook page. It's easy to find. It's called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. You can watch the show. We are doing it on Facebook Live on our Facebook pages, and opinions don't count, but you are entitled to share yours with us. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is sponsored by the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice. When looking for answers about home financing, check out CardinalFinancial.com. On Tap, the Vegas Golden Knights won a really entertaining game last night at T-Mobile Arena, and Jonathan Marchessault was blazing. Magnum talked to him after the game. You'll hear it. UNLV is 4-1 in the Mountain West Conference, but is the record a house of cards? I already know what Chris is going to say, what I'm going to say. In about 20 minutes, you'll hear me go one-on-one with Noah Robotham, the Las Vegas local point guard that returned home to play his senior season for the Rebels and so far has been the most criticized player on the team. Fact, this reveals a secret about the Raiders coming to Vegas that I can almost positively assure you, you'll be hearing here for the first time in studio today from our guest, Bert Tabor. Also in studio, 13-year NFL veteran Lyndon King, the first president of the NFL alumni Las Vegas chapter. Kind of cool. He played back in the day, played 4 years for the Los Angeles Raiders, so that's kind of cool. Lyndon will be in studio with us as well in a little while. And last weekend was my favorite weekend in sports. I did tell you that. 4 do-or-die football games to get to this weekend. But today, Chris, do you hear this? Today is my favorite single day in sports, the NFL Conference Championship Sunday. We'll talk about it and give you our picks down the road, but I love today because you supposedly have the final 4 best teams left in football, and for the first time in a long time, actually, I think the 4 best teams in football made it to the conference championship games. Even though they were ranked 1 and 2 in each conference, people questioned the Patriots. They said the Chargers are a better team. They had a better record. Well, the Chargers had a chance to prove it last week, and we all saw what happened. We'll talk about that later on. What's on Tap does come your way thanks to our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home finance. Again, check out CardinalFinancial.com.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
It's in across the slot on the back end. It ends up back in front. Jam shot tipped into the goal. From the right side of the crease, Phil Kessel tips it home. The Penguins take a 1-0 lead 4 minutes into the game. Tuck ahead to the left wing, finds Stastny into the zone. Stastny delays, Looks back to the left point, to the right, and one-time shot, score! Jay Theodore, a power play goal. Knights tie it 1-1. Right wing, Derek Englund. He swirls it around the rim, picks up Tuck left corner. Tuck to the middle, Stastny in front, Pacioretty scores! Max Pacioretty from Stastny and Tuck. Vegas takes the lead 2-1. Carpenter with Lindbergh. Carpenter feeds Lindbergh off the pipe and in! Oscar Lindbergh from Ryan Carpenter. 3-1 Vegas with 4 minutes to go in the first. Loose puck, Dumoulin deals right out in front. Score! Dominic Simone. And it's a 3-2 Vegas lead. The Penguins strike 16 seconds in. Free puck behind the net and into the far corner. Lindbergh goes for a check. Puck in front. Score! Sidney Crosby, 3-3 tie, 6 minutes into the second period. Carlson got the puck in, DeSmith clears it away, Marchessault in, he scores! Jonathan Marchessault! 4-3 Golden Knights. Billy works it up top, Miller shoots, tipped in front, left side Marchessault, stucks it in! Marchessault, 5-3 Vegas! Jonathan Marchessault scores consecutive goals to put the Knights up by two. And now picked up by Jack Johnson, the defenseman. Rims it around, not out. Miller shoots. Tipped home! Carlson! William Carlson, the long-distance redirection. And the Knights lead 6-3, 6:15 to play in the third. From center, looks across to the near side of the neutral zone. Marchessault towards the net. He scores! Hat-trick Marchessault! Rocky 7. Knights take a 7-3 lead with 21 seconds to go.
And as you heard, Jonathan Marchessault got his hat trick there. What you didn't hear, you heard a lot of Dan Duver right there, the radio play-by-play voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. But what you didn't hear is that Marc-Andre Fleury actually started that empty net goal and got the assist, his second of the season. Should be his third, as Mags pointed out to me last night after the game. But, you know, it was really cool. And unfortunately, I was videotaping for Facebook Live and not recording the interview that I did with Marc-Andre Fleury after the game. But what was really cool is I went and talked to him, and I'm like, you know, you got to feel pretty good. You stop Sidney Crosby on a flat-out breakaway, arguably a top-five player in the history of the National Hockey League. You got an assist, and you got a comeback victory against your former team, another win against the Penguins. And he just put a big smile on his face, and he goes, you know, I wish the game would have gone a little differently. They would like to win a little more convincingly and not give up a lead. But he said very, very satisfying with that win. And Mags, you made a point last night, and I really liked it, saying that, you know, it'd be pretty cool to see this matchup in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, yeah, and it was really like a heavyweight fight. I mean, it was such a, to be honest, it might be the best hockey game I've ever been to live, because it was just two teams going up and down the ice. The pace was unbelievable, and you knew early on that it was going to be a wild one, because Phil Kessel stuffed one in the corner, got it past Fleury, and really just a great goal. I think it's Phil Kessel's fourth goal of the year against Vegas, so he's had a lot of success against Golden Knights.
20 goals again, and now it's 11 straight seasons for Phil Kessel.
Guy's a great player. Gets it done year in, year out. But then, you know, it was one of those games where you really got to see a little bit of everything, because you got to see, first of all, Sidney Crosby. I know a lot of people don't like him. Why I don't understand. Maybe they're just haters or their team's garbage. And
he's been known to whine.
I don't care. When you watch the guy play...
Well, you can whine when you can back it up, and he for sure can.
He just is so instinctive. Yeah, he's so smart. He's so fast on the ice. He's always in the right place. Watching him play live is a treat. So, you know, you got to see a 10-goal game. You got to see Sidney Crosby score a goal. You got to see a Jonathan Marchessault hat trick. The 18,500 and whatever it was who were at the game last night, I think... today there's probably 25,000 people walking around Las Vegas saying they were at the game.
Oh, a lot of people are talking about it. And Chris, the cool thing is too is, you know, you mentioned the crowd. It was the second largest crowd, regular season crowd in Vegas Golden Knight history, which was pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, the place was electrifying, a little bit of a different start to the game, the way they presented it. And they're always going to be trying to reinvent that to make it more entertaining. But I'll tell you what, as Chris said, man, such an enjoyable hockey game from start to finish. It's one of those games that you really didn't want to go up, get up and go take a leak. You didn't want to go get some more popcorn or a drink because, I mean, look at it. You had a 7-3 final. There were 10 goals scored in the game. Almost 11, and really the one that wasn't a goal, Chris, I think changed the whole outlook of this game. If that goal ends up counting, we're probably talking about a Penguins victory today.
Yeah, and I think they made the right call.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I think, and the kicking the skate is such a judgmental decision because I don't think any player actively tries to kick a puck into the net. Like, I don't think that's going through their mind.
No, because they know it's not going to be a goal.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I don't think it's a thing where because they know it's going to be reviewed. I don't think they're actively saying, like, the same thing happened with Pierre-Edward Belmar last week against Chicago. He came in. I think he was trying to stop, and the puck went in off his skate. But he was, you know, he was stopping on his edge, and the puck hit his skate and went in. So, I think in ruling with consistency, I think you almost had to rule the Malkin goal a no goal. I think it was the right decision. And I think Pittsburgh players, from what I heard about their locker room, they thought it was the wrong decision, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, I it was funny because as soon as they scored that goal, they showed Gerard Gallant on the televisions above us, and I could read his lips, and right away he said no goal.
Yep.
And they did not waste any time. You know, a lot of times these reviews, they take a little bit of time.
No, it was quick.
It was very, very quick for a review, and it was a huge momentum kill shift because they scored like 13, 14 seconds into that power play. So after that puck or after that goal was ruled no goal, Vegas still had to kill like a minute and 45 seconds of power play of the Penguins, which is one of the best in the league because you're able to get Malkin and Crosby out there together. It was just such a great game. It was a fun game.
And I got to say to interject here, and we talk about it too. I mean, Malkin, when you see the guy, went into the locker room. He is a big dude.
Pittsburgh has some big guys.
I'll tell you right now, we talked about the game. I was like, there's not a lot of guys in the NHL that want to fight Ryan Reeves, but I can promise you right now, if you saw Malkin up close, he's not backing down. He might not want to fight him, but he's definitely not backing down from him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is really a good hockey team. You've got four guys in this team with over 40 points already, and they are just an offensive juggernaut. And even though they were in fourth place coming into the game, like 2 points or 3 points out of first, I mean, this Pittsburgh Penguins team is somebody that you don't want to see in the playoffs. They are a grizzled veteran hockey team, very well goaltended, and Murray didn't even play net yesterday night.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Casey DeSmith, the Penguins goaltender, people are going to say, wow, guy gave up 6 goals. He played terrible.
Good. I'm sorry.
He probably prevented 3 or 4 more goals from going in because he made some really big saves. I mean,
the Knights had a lot of chances.
There were
last
4
night.
Opportunities where the Knights came in alone on DeSmith.
Tuck
had 2.
Yeah.
I think Carlson had 1. And Cody Eakin and Braden McNabb, 2 guys who you never would ever think would have a 2-on-0 breakaway, but they had a 2-on-0 breakaway, and DeSmith made the save on Eakin. And you know, maybe if Eakin passes to McNabb, McNabb puts it in. But nonetheless, Casey DeSmith,
all the credit
for giving up 6 goals. I mean, he played as good as you could for giving up 6 goals because a lot of those, I don't know if you could really blame him. Outside of the Marchessault first goal, where William Karlsson just made an unbelievable play, he outraced the Pittsburgh defenseman, forced DeSmith out of his net to come out and play the puck. He cleared it right to Marchessault, who was able to put it in the net. But just, I would
It was such a fun game. I mean, just
I don't
going
have
back
to pay
it.
Money to see if these two teams play again.
But you would.
But I would.
Me too. If you're going to go to a game, this is just a well-coached, well-played team, well-played game with a lot of very talented hockey players going back and forth. It was wide open. You saw a little bit of everything in this game, even a little bit of physicality at times. I loved it. And as you said, what a dream matchup it would be to have the Penguins play the Golden Knights. Although, I would prefer like the Detroit Red Wings to play the Golden Knights, but that's probably years down the road. I want to get, you know, I was going to talk about they've got some upcoming games. The Knights, of course, they got two more games at home this week, and it's not going to be easy. Don't think for a minute. I mean, the Minnesota Wild might not be the team that they were last season, but this is still a very good hockey team coming in for tomorrow for a Monday afternoon game, and then they'll play the Predators Wednesday night, also at T-Mobile. Then they go on the road for four games. So I think this win against the Penguins was really a pivotal game to get a good, profound win against a very good hockey team, especially after the loss they took to Winnipeg. Go ahead, Meg, because Blazin is obvious. I do have an honorable mention, Blazin. Yeah, Blazin is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, located at the 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. A long slap shot from Centennial Hills Hospital. I'll be there on Super Bowl Sunday. We'll be doing the show live. Come on down. We're giving away all kinds of stuff. It is going to be a good time, and then I'll be hosting the Super Bowl party there on Monday night as well, Super Bowl Sunday night, I should say. So really hope to see everyone down there for the Super Bowl. Be a lot of fun. I know there's parties all over town, but we will be rocking again. It's our third straight Super Bowl down at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I'm looking very forward to it. Before I go to that, Chris, I'm going to give the honorable mention that I've got to say this guy, because no Greek tennis player, which I was kind of surprised, has ever made it to the quarterfinals of a major tennis tournament until yesterday. And what's so crazy about it is Roger Federer has won the last two Australian Opens. He won 2017 and 2018, and that means 17 straight matches he has won in the Australian Open. In this Australian Open, going to the quarterfinals, he had not lost a set going to the quarterfinals. This guy, Stefano Tsitsipas, a 20-year-old Greek, beat him. And beat him. It unbelievable. I was watching like the highlights and part of it. Really, really cool. You got to give the guy credit. Again, he's the first Greek player to ever do that. And he was the 13th seed, Federer the first seed. He was pretty emotional after the game. He got that one, Chris. Play that for him.
Nothing I can describe it to. I mean, I'm the happiest man on earth right now. I cannot describe it.
He kind of got emotional after that and broke down a little bit, but... Yeah, I would say if you beat Roger Federer in a major when he's won 17 straight games and two straight majors at that venue, you beat him. I would say it's probably, you got to be the happiest guy on earth for that one moment.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're a tennis fan, you probably remember Mark Philippoussis, who was Greek by the way of, or Australian by the way of Greece. I think he was born in Greece, but
right.
Played for, you know, he represented Australia, so he technically didn't count. But, you know, it's cool to see. I mean, it's a great sport. I love tennis. I watched the women's matches the other night. Fortunately, my girl Caroline Wozniacki lost to Sharapova, who ended up losing her next match. Big
How about
shock.
Eddie Murray going out in the first round?
Yeah, first time is ever. Since 2008 yeah. He's lost in the first round of a major. So,
surprising.
Pretty wild.
But anyways, Stefano Tsitsipas, you get the honorable mention for Blazin. And the guy we got to give Blazin to, Jonathan Marchessault, his first hat trick as a Vegas Golden Knight. He's done it before in his career, but this is the first time as a Vegas Golden Knight. And Chris talked to him after the game.
They're a fast team, right? So, I mean, it's definitely all about staying above their top players and limit the time and options for them. And I think we did a decent job. And they battled back there when it was 3-1. They came back to 3-3, and it was only because our gaps were not as good, like defensively and in a neutral zone, we weren't as good. And I think it's something that we should have done better a little bit.
I don't know if you had already talked about it, but your first goal, the play William Karlsson made, where he forced to Smith to come out and kind of play the puck. Could you just talk about his play
yeah, I mean,
on that goal?
It's all in there. I mean, we just put a puck in an area where we know that Carl is going to get there first because he's definitely a fast player. And I mean, the goalie comes out, so I was just trying to read off where he's going to put it. And I mean, it was just try to shoot it on net.
And the second goal, I think one of the writers quoted saying, you deked DeSmith into a pretzel. Could you just talk about that second goal?
Yeah, I mean, it was like RD did a great job to just find a lane and get it through. And, I mean, I was going on my back end there, and I knew he was following me there, so I was just trying to cut back towards the net and kind of got lucky that it went in.
On the line, we're here in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studios. Brian Feldman with you, directly in front of me on your radio dial, Chris Magnum Chapman, Vegas Golden Knights locker room correspondent, talk show host, and aspiring play-by-play basketball guy.
I don't know if aspiring is the word, but when I'm called to do it, I do it.
You got to do it the last 2 years, man. Pretty good game yesterday.
Great game. I mean, Bishop Gorman, shout out to those guys. They beat Findlay Prep only the third time in their history of this rivalry that they've beaten Findlay. But Gorman is so good defensively. Grant Rice has got those kids buying in. Zion Collins, Isaiah Cottrell, Noah Tates. Those kids are phenomenal.
Grant Rice a little bit better coach than his brother.
No comment on that. But I will say this. There is so much high school basketball talent in this town. There's a kid, Jalen Hill, going to Oklahoma. He plays at Clark. Julian Strother, he plays at Liberty High School. He's playing for the Puerto Rican national team. So much good basketball talent. And I'm telling you, if you love the game, go watch Gorman, because they are a throwback the way they play defense. It's awesome to watch.
I like to check it out. Listen, real quickly, just want to talk about UNLV for 1 second last night. Blew out San Jose State, but I think we expected that. But Chris, what we didn't expect was the loss to Air Force on Thursday night. I mean,
I know someone who did. I know that wasn't me, but I know.
I happen to also say that I wouldn't be surprised if that was a letdown game, but I really didn't think they would lose. I mean, my God in heaven.
I think you and I know the same person who...
I know. Well, he predicts them to lose no matter who they're playing.
No. A fellow Michigander like yourself.
He did predict them to lose.
When I talked to him Tuesday, he said they were going to lose.
Okay, well, I'll give him props for that. But
he broke down why. Dave Pilifovich, the Air Force coach, he said he will coach the best game of his year against UNLV, and I think that was pretty accurate.
They scored 106 points. I don't think Air Force has scored 100. Mags, they are ranked 225th offensively in the country. How the hell do they score 106 points? That is disgusting, putrid. But the bottom line is they rebounded yesterday. They are the walking wounded. You got Zhang out now. Dembele and Justin are out for the year, as we know. So they did, no pun intended, they did rebound yesterday and won by double digits handily. It was never a basketball game, but San Jose State might be the most pathetic team in the country, and so it was not much of a surprise. After the game, I did get a chance. We're not going to get to play the whole interview because we got a lot of stuff to get to today, but I did get a chance to talk to Noah Robotham after the game, and hey, I have been as critical as his point guard play as anybody since he's come from Akron. I know he's a local guy in Vegas. We want to see him do well, but I mean, the bottom line is he has not been the player he was advertised to be.
I heard he was pretty excited about the Gorman win yesterday, too.
I'm sure he was.
I heard he walked into the press conference. The first thing he said was big shout out to Gorman.
He did. He shouted out to Gorman right away. He was smiling. It was nice to see him do well. He's starting to hit the perimeter shot a little bit. But Menzies is always talking about how the guy hits all these perimeter shots in practice, but we're not allowed to go to practice. So we don't know if he really hits the shots in practice. But he has been hitting them lately. They did win. I still think Amari Hardy should be the starting point guard at UNLV. But all that being said, I did talk to Noah Hay, and I told him how I feel. You know, the show's called Out of Line. I don't pull any punches. I talked to him after the game, and this is what he had to say.
Talking with Noah Robotham, man, guys, 3-1 now, 4-1. 4-1 in the Mountain West Conference. How big was it coming back here and getting a win, a dominating win like this against a team you guys should beat, but after the Air Force game?
Yeah, like you said, from what I've witnessed in college, you have to win games you're supposed to at the end of the day. Obviously, we didn't get the job against Air Force, but you know, once you know, you got to bounce back. It is what it is. So we had an opportunity tonight to have a big game, and we did that. And, you know, I watched Reno. Reno lost to New Mexico by 28. They came back, and they beat San Jose State pretty good. So I think good teams, what you're supposed to do is your B team is supposed to do. If you have a bad game, then just battle back. But over the course of a season, You know, you're going to have a lot of those games, so we just need to bounce back.
I think I've seen as much parity in the Mountain West Conference since I've been covering them for the past 6 or so years. Is that kind of refreshing to know that on any given night you can go in and beat anybody, especially when New Mexico went in, beat Reno the way they did? Reno had a scare again the other night, and then you guys go into the pit and do what you did. Does that give you confidence, say, hey, on any night we can beat anybody?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I would say the top six teams in this conference probably think they could beat anybody on any given night. And even the teams that are kind of on the outside probably think they could do the same. But, yeah, it's important. You know, obviously Reno's a top team because they're top 10 nationally. But, you know, you have us, you have Fresno State, Boise State, New Mexico, San Diego State. Like, those are all good teams. But I think it gives you confidence when you go in the conference tournament, because at the end of the day, a majority of these teams are going to have to win three games in a row. So if you gain towards that and you could get confidence by beating any team on any given night, I think it'll help you in the long run.
One of the things that gives the team confidence is the good play from the point guard. You and Amari lately, man, a lot of dishes, a lot of assists, assist-to-turnover ratio getting pretty good. How important is that for the two of you when really you guys run the show? You're the quarterback of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. You always want to have a positive assist-turnover ratio, and you want to get guys involved. But, you know, that we're only doing half of the thing. Guys got to make shots as well, and I think we've done a good job the past, since conference play, making shots. But, you know, we're kind of doing it by committee right now. Amari's playing, you know, unbelievable. And, like I said, we just got to put people in the right positions to make shots. And, you know, if we're playing well, I think our team will do well. It's just like a quarterback or an ace, you know. If you're doing what you need to do, more so like you'll win games.
One of the things at the beginning of the season that I see is getting a little bit better now is finishing. How much emphasis has Coach put on finishing in practice?
All the emphasis you can imagine. You know, obviously, Air Force, we had a lot of bunnies. I mean, any game, we had a lot of bunnies you should have actually made. But guys learn how to kind of finish through pads and doing all that stuff that, you know, they're probably not used to doing. But, no, finishing is a very big thing on this team. But, we, you know, we've been drilling in practice, so that's probably why guys are doing a lot better at it.
Next man up and plug and play, I would say, would be a good motto for this team. You got the walking wounded, everyone over in sweatpants on the side. I didn't even see Jakur Justin on the bench.
He was there, I think.
Was he there? Yeah, we didn't see him. But how does that keep your mentality? It's like, hey, next man up.
Yeah, absolutely. Next man up. It's funny. I walk in the locker room today, and, you know, all of the clothes are out. And there's one side, five guys not playing. You know, only two guys are playing on the one side. So it's actually pretty interesting to see all those guys sitting out. But, you know, I think on any good team, you got to do it by committee. And it has to be a next man up mentality. If somebody gets hurt, then that's your opportunity to grow. And the good thing is those guys that are playing, the other people that are starting to play now is pushing them in practice. So, you know, I like where we're at right now. Obviously, I like to have a lot more wins and a lot less losses. But like you said, next man up mentality. And I thought we did a really good job of doing that tonight.
Two more questions for you. Yeah. One, yourself personally. Started off, you come from Akron, a local guy from Vegas, had to be really excited to come here. It started a little slow, missing the outside shot, struggling a bit on the perimeter where that was part of your game. How do you just stay focused and not let the noise from the outside affect you and just keep playing and get back into your rhythm in your game?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been very fortunate. I'm insulated with a very great group of people. Obviously, my teammates, my coaches, and my family, meaning my, you know, my parents and my brother. And they just kind of keep me level-headed. But the funny thing is, you know, it's not my first time doing this. I've missed shots in the past. But to me, that doesn't define me. You know, it's what I'm doing to help my team win. Am I playing good defense? Am I getting guys involved? Shots are going to fall. You know, it is what it is. You're going to miss some shots. You're going to make some shots. It's a 50-50 chance. So, you know, like I said, I just kind of keep my head high. Honestly, I haven't read one article. I haven't read one thing about me the whole year, so I don't really know what the narrative is. So just kind of keep my head down. I grind and I work and I stay in the gym. And I think if you're consistent with that stuff and, you know, you have a positive attitude, things will start going your way, and I think they're starting to go my way right now.
Finally, Coach Menzies, he brought you over here. It's not a secret. The guy's kind of on the hot seat. We don't know if it's this year or next year, but the bottom line is winning. Mm-hmm. Coaching, college basketball players coaching, it's all about winning. Mm-hmm. How do you guys stay focused? Is that something between any of you guys that you talk about, like, hey, for this, that, or for Coach, or is it just you go out there and do your job every day?
Yeah, we just go out there and do our job. I think Coach Menzies will be here, you know, as long as he wants to be here. I think he's shown his work at New Mexico State. I think there's some stat out there where it's only him, Bill Self, and Jay Wright are the only coaches that could actually speak. It's some type of record, But, you know, Coach Menzies knows how to win. I think, you know, the first 2 years, the first year, you know, it was kind of roster turnover. Then he's kind of got his players in here. But, you know, we're going out there just compete for one another. Obviously, you know, Coach is a big proponent of that. But, you know, guys don't go in there thinking if he's on the hot seat or not. That's really none of our business at the end of the day. We got to go out there and put forth a strong effort. And if we're doing what we need to do, then he looks good. And when we're not doing what we need to do, he kind of looks bad. But that's not always his fault. You know, last game Air Force, that was nothing his. We just didn't defend, right? So they had a great game plan. That goes for all the coaches. So I just think, you know, as a team, we're bought in, we're confident, but we're doing it for one another. And, you know, all that other stuff that has to do with administration, you know, we kind of don't even think about.
Appreciate your time, Noah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I like the intro music. Out of line, Fox Sports Radio, about 20 minutes in front of the hour of 9 o'clock. We've got, it is a conference championship Sunday here in the National Football League. We'll get to that in a little bit. I just want to say two things we're not going to get to. We're not going to talk at all about the Pacquiao-Bronner fight. I don't need to talk about a farce. And what a joke, man. All it is for so Pacquiao can fight Mayweather again and people can line their pockets, and I'm tired of it. I'm not going to waste my time talking about it. I'm glad everyone had so much fun in Vegas going to it. ESPN gave it about 30 seconds on SportsCenter. That's how important that fight was.
Well, I'm glad Broner got his ass kicked, because after what he did to a friend of mine, Al Bernstein, it was...
That was terrible.
Uncalled
friend
for.
Friend of ours, Al Bernstein's a great guy,
good
man.
Good dude,
yeah.
And, you know, totally uncalled for. Adrian Broner, good to see him get picked apart and dominated by the Pac-Man.
That was good, but I just, like I said, and I'm also not going to talk about James Harden and the fact that he is out of his mind. Lakers should have won that game last night for another time. And I'm not going to talk about Virginia and Michigan, the last two undefeated teams in college basketball, both losing yesterday. What we are going to talk about, we got a lot of people in studio. I have Amy Zeal. She is Muscle Mania champion in 2016, 2017. She's been a professional dancer for over 10 years.
I think she could kick your ass. She looks like she's
110%. Hey, I'm wearing red. That's like protection for quarterbacks. So, you know, she danced for the New Jersey Devils in the National Hockey League.
Oh, my team.
Your team, brother. I'm telling you, the New York Titans, indoor lacrosse, Madison Square Garden. She was an XFL cheerleader for New York and the New Jersey Hitmen. A certified personal trainer for over 16 years. And what's up, Amy?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Talk to everyone, man. Tell them about what you do. What's going on?
Well, I do online fitness personal training.
Okay.
And I help people restructure their mind, bodies, and spirits through several programs that I've created.
Very, very cool. So how can people get involved? And if they want to look, well, they're not going to look like you, but maybe they can shape their bodies a little bit.
I mean, anybody can.
How can they look like you? They have to chop off your head and put it on them. They can shape their body. They can't look like you.
There's this little editing program online where they can kind of cut my face out and put it on their body. You know what I mean?
But how are they going to walk around like that? Because they're going to want to keep that. It's like, you know, they just stay indoors behind a curtain or something. So
No. They can hit me up.
Amy's pretty hot. That's all I'm saying. I mean, seriously. So,
well, no.
So, you know, I mean, it is.
My mom is going to watch this.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, it's called.
They had to come from somewhere.
Bert knew before you guys came in. The name of the show is Out of Line. I am supposed to be out of line.
Wait, I thought in sports we were supposed to say in the lines.
No, I'm out of line,
oh,
but
okay.
I keep my hands to myself.
Oh,
that's
got
what
it.
I'll say.
Okay.
Like the song says.
You know,
okay?
I did do Taekwondo for a couple years.
I got this four field up. But go ahead, let everyone know again a number that I wanted to know
Instagram.
About your Instagram.
So
yeah.
You could find me on Instagram at Amy_Zeal, Zeal, and they can reach out to me. They can fill out my application to see if they qualify for one of my programs, and I would love to help them.
That's way cool.
Yeah, really. I'm also working with the Raiders right now, so, you know, women, the wives of the players, you know, the cheerleaders, anybody who really wants to get in shape from a professional point of view, because I have professional experience in that way, I'm here to help.
That's outstanding. I just got exhausted and started sweating thinking about getting into shape as you are.
Well, you know, when you actually work out and get, you know, it happens.
You know what's funny?
You glisten, actually.
Do you know what's funny is I do 300 push-ups a day, true story.
That's
my
amazing.
Upper body, but I do nothing cardio. That's it. I just am a push-up junkie, and I do nothing cardio. I don't know where that came from, but that's it. So also in studio, besides with Amy, and awesome having you on.
Thank you very much.
Really,
I
if you saw
it.
Her, if she can sculpture your body, man, I would be all over this.
Why don't we start with you?
Oh, we'll think about it.
I was about to put
my foot in my mouth.
I
would be all over it like a hobo on a ham sandwich, okay?
Oh,
but I'm just saying. So In studio now, also, who I want to talk to, we have a couple people that are very special guests of mine, and I promised you at the beginning of the show there is a secret about the Raiders coming to Las Vegas that you don't know about. And the reason I say you don't know about it is up until this past Tuesday, I didn't know about it. I went to a mixer. My good friend Mike Price, who I actually moved here from Detroit, came here to work for me years ago, and Mike invited me to the mixer. I went in. I got to meet Bert Tabor. Also met Lyndon King, both of them here right now. Bert Tabor is going to tell us this story in a minute. Lyndon King, 13 years in the National Football League, 9 with the San Diego Chargers, 4 with the Los Angeles Raiders, and I'm guessing because of that, Lyndon is a Super Bowl champion because the Los Angeles Raiders were only there for a few years, and I'm guessing the Marcus Allen year you were on that team, huh?
Well, you're 0 for 1 now.
No, wow, you weren't.
No, I was in San Diego. Last year they went to the Raiders.
Oh, man, you just missed out on that then.
I did.
And every once in a while, 13 years in the league, and Lyndon now has basically is the original president of the NFL Alumni Las Vegas chapter. And it is starting up here in Las Vegas. Hey, we are an NFL city starting in 2020, and now we have an NFL alumni chapter here. And there's a way you can get involved. You can get all the information. You can get the inside stuff, lines on tickets, hotel rooms, and places they travel. And this is all part of what the NFL alumni does. And they also have a great, and Lyndon is part of a great golf outing coming up here in a couple of weeks as well. Lyndon, first of all, welcome down the line, man. It's a pleasure to have
you
on the show.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
So go ahead, tell them about, first, start off with the golf outing, because that's okay. Pressing and right up. And then I want you to let everyone know how they can become part of the NFL Alumni Association.
Okay, well, first of all, the alumni is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit, and we have two functions. We take care of some of the older guys that need help. You know, these million-dollar contracts weren't around when I played. I played for $68 a day.
Amazing.
And the guys before me, even less. And so and that was just my first year. It went up to like $80 a second year, you know, so it was great. But anyway, we have old guys that need help, and so we help them out. But our primary goal is helping kids. And with the society being what it is, kids shooting each other, we are putting together a comprehensive program that starts in first grade and goes all the way through high school. There's a lot of programs out there that concentrate on high school, but by the time the kids get there, they're already messed up, you know. And so we got to start taking care of our kids from day one, and that's what we're trying to put together, because we have platforms in all the major cities with all the major sports teams. And not only do we have the NFL, we've got the NBA and the NHL. And we're putting together a message. Hopefully, we're talking to Michelle Obama's people and Colin Powell's people so that we can come up with a structure that everybody can agree with. And we're going to try to make a dent in all the stuff that's going on in society now. So to benefit that, we have a golf outing coming out January 31st. It's called Golfing with the Pros. And what it is our Super Bowl of golf. We put our teams in here. Whoever wins this contest gets to go to Pinehurst, New Jersey, to compete against all the other teams that have come in. Pinehurst for the Super Bowl of Golf Championship. So put your forces together, come down. Yeah, put it together, come down, and go for it. We need someone to represent Las Vegas.
That is really, really cool. And again, right now, if you do want to be part of the NFL Alumni Association, what is the easiest and most efficient way to get involved?
We have two websites, nfla.vegas.
Okay.
That'll give you all the information on our events coming up. And if you go to the nflalumni.org page, you can join and become a member. You don't have to be a former player to be a member of the alumni. We have cheerleaders, we have coaches, we have general population, and everybody can take advantage of all of the benefits that we put together over the years.
It's really cool. Lyndon, you know, I was hearing his story the other night talking about how he came out to Vegas after last year, Chris, when October 1st happened. Lyndon kind of came out here afterwards and saw this community, what we all saw, where it was like, yeah. Wow, almost shocking how we all came together that way. And just cumulatively from people, you know, probably the most transient city in this country, mm-hmm. and yet we all became one, and we all became Vegas strong and Vegas proud. And this guy packed up and moved out here.
Absolutely.
Because of that and seeing this. That is a pretty strong statement. When I heard that, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And you can tell he's a great guy. He is really looking to get this one. And from what I know about Lyndon, and for from due diligence I've done in the past, you've spoken out in your past about head injuries and things in football as well, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Talked about CTE and the other things and the prolonged. And it's really good because people that did play when you play a lot of players, man, they are not compensated the way that they should be. Nope. I mean, this is a violent sport, and you're outspoken about this. Mike Ditka, and of course, they have the Gridiron Greats.
Yeah.
And it's really cool association. So appreciate you coming here and what you do.
Well, thank you very much. We do have a couple of programs in place, but they're for guys that are destitute. You know, they'll have doctors do surgery for them. I've gone through a hip replacement and both shoulders replacement. I did two shoulders in 1 month. But the only thing I got from the NFL was for each one was $5,200. These are expensive operations.
That's unbelievable.
So, yeah, we are really trying to get the guys pre-93. It's really sad. You know, the NFL has gone from a millionaire business to a billionaire business, and they forgot about the guys that paid the way.
That founded it.
Exactly.
Paid the way 100%.
Yeah. Our concussion protocol, and this is a true story. If I was playing the Dallas Cowboys, I went down on a kickoff team, got knocked out cold. I wake up, the trainer's laughing at me, and they help me up, and they're walking me off the field with the smelling sauce under my nose, and he asked me two questions. He said, what's the score? And I got that right. He said, what's the date? And I said, 1863. He said, he's 50-50. Put him back in.
Oh, my God.
That was the concussion protocol we had.
It hasn't changed that much. A very good friend of mine, one of my best friends, played for Notre Dame, played for the Lions for a couple years and retired, went out for the Raiders, and his name's Pete Kerplevich. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about playing for the Lions on a kickoff team, and he got his helmet kind of smashed, and it was like sideways and broke his face mask a little bit. And Scott Kolakowski's like, hey, how many fingers am I holding up? And Pete's over there, he's like, two. And he goes, dude, I'm over here. And they put him back in the game two minutes later. And this is the 1990s.
Yes.
So, I mean, it hasn't changed. They're getting better. We are running really long time. Lyndon, appreciate you tremendously. No, do not. Bert, hop in here real quick. I want Bert Tabor. You got to tell this story, and we're so tight on time, but you've got to hear this. This guy right here, who I'm about to put on the microphone, really is the founding father of the reason that Las Vegas is going to get the Raiders. And go ahead and tell the story.
Well, what happened was tonight, June 12, 2013, I went up to Oakland, and was going to go sell LED lighting. And I used to work for the Raiders. Everybody knows my history. I got fired from the Raiders and went into drug rehab. I've been clean 30 years. So we all go up there. I had the gentleman, Bill Smith, who built City Center, and some other guys. And we're downstairs eating with Charles Woodson and all the team. This is, for training, before training camp. So we're eating there. And next thing I know, Miss Cheryl comes down and says, Mark wants you upstairs in the office. I was like, I don't want to go up to the office because of Al Davis. Next thing I know, she goes, no, you got to go upstairs. So, well, can I bring the crew? And she said, yeah, bring Ricky and Bill Smith and all your friends up. So we get up there. Mark Davis looks at me, shakes my hand, said, you're doing good. He looks at Bill Smith, and he goes, hey, suit and tie guy, how big's Bert in Vegas? And he goes, what do you want? And I calmed down. I looked at him, and Bruce Formong looked at Mark. I said, I know what you want, Mark. Hold on. I run out to the lobby in front of his office, and I call both Goodmans, Oscar and Carolyn. A lot of people don't know the history, but the Goodmans were very close to the Davises because Al threw all of his birthday parties at the Riviera, and Carolyn used to bottle feed Mark.
Babysit Mark, basically,
and I dialed 911. They call me right back. What's wrong? I said, you guys, you won't believe this. Mark wants to bring the team to Vegas. She goes, where are you at? I said, I'm in front of him. I hand him my cell phone. They're on the phone about 45 minutes, and we're all sitting there, and Ricky Hundley's hitting me on my knee. Bert, you're making history. I said, we ain't done nothing yet. We still got all the owners. Next thing I know, they hang up. Mark Davis comes into town. The secret meeting was at Oscar's restaurant, and it was really cool. And then we took him up there. We didn't sit in, and my old boss, John Herrera. And the next thing I know, you guys have seen what happened. I waited 5 years. Carolyn Goodman
read the text real quick. So
Carolyn Goodman sent me a text.
You got to hear this. It's cool.
And said, Bert, you are the reason why the Raiders are coming. Me and Oscar want to wish you a beautiful new year, and keep your head up.
How's that? I saw the text. He showed it to me the other night. I mean, is that not a testimonial? I mean, that's it right there.
And then I got Barbara Moore. I got Barbara Moore on phone. Barbara's a big part of our life in Vegas now. Say hi to the fans at the sports show.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited.
Miss Playmate, December 1992, and she looks better now than she did then, everybody. She's going to be with me at Dre's. I'm going to let these guys, when it gets closer, to give away two tickets to meet Barbara Moore, Tony Casillas. I got a bunch of celebrities. Method Man's our entertainment, along with Modell and Corona Beer. So you guys get to give away two tickets
next week. Cool.
Barbara, say hi to the fans and tell them you're looking forward to meeting everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited. and celebrate the Raiders coming to Las Vegas and Super Bowl and to sign some autographs and meet everybody. It's going to be so much fun. So bring your December 92 memorabilia, and I'll be happy to sign it for you.
Well, Barbara, we thank you. I want to thank the sports show and Otta and the producer, the gentleman, the in-locker room reporter. You guys are doing a great job. I hope Tony here at Lotus Broadcasting gets you guys more prime time.
I appreciate it,
I enjoy it,
man.
it very much, man.
Bert Tabor, man, like I said, part of the reason. There's so many titles. I'll say director of sales for Sports Network International, but this guy does a ton of things. Of course, Lyndon King in studio, founding president, I should say the first president of the Las Vegas chapter of the NFL Alumni Association, also Amy Zeal. Told you all about her credentials. You want to look good? Talk to this lady. Magnum's behind the mic. I'm Brian Feldman. It's Out of Line. We are almost out of time, but not too late to talk about the conference championship games. Mags, I'll tell you what, looking at the games, you know, I was saying up until recently, I just didn't see the Saints getting beat, and here we are today. I am talking about parlaying and taking the Rams on the money line. I think after watching the Saints, not that I'm going to downplay the Eagles, they did beat the Bears at Soldier Field, even though they should have lost that game. A clank off of a goalpost changed everything, but then they went a week later with no rest, Nick Foles banged up, and they took the Saints to the brink, and I think that the Rams are just a better team. They're playing better. The Rams have been covering three out of the last 4 weeks. I like the Rams, and I like the money line. And on the other side of the ball, everybody loves the Patriots. They're underdogs. I agree. You don't see Tom Brady as an underdog very often. However, I am sorry. Arrowhead Stadium is one of the hardest places to play in the National Football League. It is loud. It is obnoxious. I was listening to Jeff Saturday say that he was in a huddle, and he's face-to-face with the guard, and they couldn't hear each other. If it gets loud and it starts going downhill for the New England Patriots, it's going to be a long afternoon for Tom Brady. This is the weakest New England Patriots team I've seen play in an AFC championship in all those years. I think Kansas City is going to go on cover. The bottom line is Patrick Mahomes is unflappable. This kid is amazing. And if they let him get outside of the pocket the way he improvises, oh, my God, it's going to be a long day for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, unless they can find a way to cheat, which they've been the best at that in the history of the National Football League. So,
Well, my heart tells me and my emotions tell me Kansas City, but my mind tells me you don't bet against Bill Belichick, and he will find a way to get the job done.
Wow, sorry, a Jets fan.
I hate
Holy
the team.
Cow.
I hate everything about them. I hate their nonsensical Patriot way.
I'm
going to
go get a pacemaker installed. Did
the
you
Patriot
really?
The Patriot way is a
Holy
myth. It's a lie.
Cow.
But the Patriots will find a way to win this
All
game.
Right.
Sorry,
All
Kansas
right.
City, you're close, but you're not going
right.
this
well,
year.
Well, hey, I'm a Detroit fan, and you know what I say?
I like the Rams, and you know I'll tell you why.
What?
Listen.
Okay.
Sheldon Rankins tore his Achilles last week. That is a monumental loss.
It is. Much bigger than people
for
realize.
For New Orleans.
It is.
He's probably their second-best defensive player. I think the Rams will be able to run the ball. If they run the ball, they control the clock. They keep Drew Brees off the field. I think it's a long day. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think the Rams pull it out.
Well, the thing is I hope you're wrong about the Patriots. I just can't see the Patriots in another Super Bowl. I mean, I just can't see it. It'll make me sick to my stomach. And
well, how about me?
I mean, although it would be kind of cool to see two 40-year-old quarterbacks going at it in the Super Bowl.
No, it wouldn't.
But
I'll take Brees in the Super Bowl.
I'm already saying. I already told you. I don't care if both 40-year-old quarterbacks go down. Remember, I'm a Lions fan. When you're a Lions fan, you don't feel sorry for anybody else. You feel sorry for yourself.
Well, as a Jets
so that's
fan,
the way it works.
Similar, you take misery in other people's misery. I think.
Well, like I said, let's put it. Let's put
ratings
it,
are going to be down big time.
Let's put it in perspective. Again, the Lions have won one playoff game in the history of the Super Bowl era. I have been alive 56 years, and I've seen one playoff win. Listen, we're out of time. I want to thank everyone today for coming on the show. I want to thank Jonathan Marchessault. I want to thank Noah Robotham, Bert Tabor. I want to thank Amy Zeal, Lyndon King. I want to thank Miss September of 1992.
Oh, December.
December. Let me get it right. Out of line. Hey, we're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. I look forward to it. Remember, we're at the Super Bowl. I'm doing the show live, Buffalo Wild Wings, Super Bowl Sunday. We'll see ya.